As we walk this journey called life, we seek to find those things that bring joy to our existence. We want to embrace love, desire, and passion through healthy human connections. We want and need to discover meaning to the steps we take daily. The challenges of breaking barriers stir up our spirit as we prove our individual importance. The value of life is precious as we assist others to discover their way. The legacy of our being is found in the donations we make in those outside of ourselves. Success in this journey takes focus and commitment to winning. The victory is in not allowing fractured beliefs of the masses to impact the rules we have made work for ourselves. This is James T. Deshaies, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection. We come to you 7 days a week, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m., Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and Sunday at 8:30 Eastern Time. We have a platform for your voice to be heard loud and clear and unfiltered. It is time that we speak for ourselves so that others completely understand the direction we want our country to go in. No longer can we sit on the sidelines and allow others to select our direction. It is time for people of color to use the internet to make sure their voices are heard beyond a couple of streets. Our thoughts and needs and desires need to be heard around the world. And Thoughts, Love, and Reflection is that platform that you can be assured that your thoughts and feelings will be respected and heard without challenge. It is time for us to come together and make sure that we're not left behind. This is your host, James T. Deshaies, looking forward to have you call in to the show at 657-383-0309. 7 days a week, we want to be heard loud and clear.
USI never had it so good. 101.1 radio, the best R&B and hip hop music. The Quiet Storm every Friday and Saturday. Talk radio with the best host in the business. Sports talk radio every weekend night with Princess Cooper. Never had it so good radio now on 101.1, and it's 24/7, the world's best radio station.
It's James T. Deshaies, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. As always, we're going to take a short break as we wait to have everyone get in, call in, and make sure everybody's here so we can start our conversation off in a way that is beneficial to everyone who's listening and who's calling into the show. So take a short break and we'll be right back.
every time we hear the music and feel this love together. We got the kind that lasts forever.
James T. Deshay, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. Guys, every day when we think about the things that we're going to discuss, I'm always trying to figure out exactly how broad a subject or how small a subject we're going to discuss. And today, I'm not really sure either, but I want to just talk about the fact that I'm proud to be a United States citizen. And for the most part, I believe that we are in one of the greatest countries in the world. I won't ever be so arrogant as to say the greatest country in the world, but I believe that we're in one of the greatest countries in the world. But when I sit and listen to the news and listen to some of the horrific things that happen in our society, I come to believe that as citizens, we are so sometimes not treated with the respect that we deserve from our government, from our police, from the companies that we support. It seems that they take us for granted. Now, I'm going to speak about one specific story, but I want to hopefully allow my audience, those of you who call in, to broaden that story out if you have some personal experiences that you'd like to share. So I want to talk about the man that got drug off the United Airlines plane, and the CEO has now come on and apologized for the incident. Now, I'm not a frequent flyer by all means. I've flown a number of times as a child, and I've flown a number of times as an adult. And for the most part, I've had very pleasant experiences when it comes to my airline experiences. And surely the airlines are taking off every day, all day, and so maybe we hear a very minor number of bad experiences, but some of these experiences just sound so horrific. And so I'm going to explain this specific one and ask, where are we in terms of how the citizens of America are being treated or mistreated by the people that we either pay or we support? Now, this man bought a ticket because he had a specific time he needed to leave, specific time when he needed to arrive. And the United Airlines overbooked the plane. And what's worse than the fact that they overbooked the plane was they asked for people to leave, not because they overbooked, but because they were needed for their employees to ride on that plane. So if you knew you needed seats for four employees, why didn't you subtract those seats from your overall seats so that people would not have purchased seats that were not theirs? I cannot understand, and would love for Joyce to call in because she's been a part of the airline industry. But I don't understand how it is lawful for you to sell more seats than you have, then ask for people to change their plans when you find yourself overbooked. Now, you easily charge us as customers, if we late and miss our flight, you charge us extra to catch another flight. But yet, you find it easy to give us whatever you think we should have in order to accommodate us for a flight where we get thrown off because you've overbooked. They ask people to take $600 and a free trip, plus they would get the trip they paid for. So you get a free trip and $600. And on the face, that sounds, quite accommodating. But if you got somewhere you really need to go, and that money and those accommodations are not enough, look like you should have the right to say no. So what they did was they selectively used a computer to select four people who needed to leave or to give up their seats. One couple gave up their seat. A man said he needed to be where he was going that day because he was a doctor and he needed to deal with his patient the following day. I don't know if that's true or not, but I'm just saying the man paid for a ticket. He knew when he needed to leave and he knew when he needed to be where he was going. And somehow it doesn't seem fair to me that a airline can use this method in order to fatten their pockets and force people to change their plan. And I just want to talk about the wider picture. Are are we now, as citizens of the United States, being forced to be treated as second-class citizens by, again, the people we pay or the companies we support? What are your thoughts about this situation? It seems like the airline more and more and more are throwing a lot of people off the plane and totally disrespecting their customers and seemingly being backed by law enforcement.
Well, thank you, James. Thank you for having me on your show, and I appreciate the subject. I think I want to start by saying, honestly, I'm not that well-traveled. And so when it comes down to the airline industry, it's kind of hard for me to speak upon that issue, even though I've heard of it a lot. But I can say that as a consumer, when a company takes on the title, or any company or any person that takes on the title of being a professional, then I, as a consumer spending my dollars, expect to be treated in a professional manner. So when you first open the topic about privilege of living in America and being an American, I can echo those sentiments. But, you know, when it comes down to the bigger picture, the broader picture, I think the question is correct. We have to ask the question, is the value of the dollar more important than your experience taking part in these services that you choose to spend your money with? We can come down to the simplest form of businesses, like even the McDonald's, for instance. And a lot of these McDonald's are run by franchise owners. But you see more and more that the employees actually run the store, not the management. In fact, you can rest assured that the managers seems to be afraid to manage their stores, where the employee just run amok. And they wear bandanas on their head, under the cap. There used to be a time where if you had loose and flowing hair, you had to wear a hairnet. Those practices are not implemented anymore. So it has to be paramount where these companies want to make sure that the customer experience is a pleasant one. And I'm not sure if they have that that aspect in mind anymore.
Yeah, D, you know, and that's why I wanted to say I don't want to necessarily focus on just the airline, but focus on our experiences as a whole, where we find ourselves being bullied. I'm going to use the term bullied by people we pay and by the rules that are set by our governments and by these CEOs that run these companies. And so let me just share one of my experiences recently with you, and I'd love to know, have somebody call in and tell me about their experiences. But, you know, you have the governmental agencies that determine exactly the way your house is supposed to be built, code enforcement, they call it. And I was doing some things to my house, and, you know, I just felt like code enforcement was going too far with first charging me for things that they didn't need to be involved in and dictating to me what I could and could not do in my own home. And so, first and foremost, I pay taxes for this code enforcement agency in my area. And they should be very polite to me as a taxpayer, but it seemed to be like they wanted to run shotgun over my house. And the things that upset me most was that a garage door, I had a garage that needed to be replaced. And I was replacing a garage door with a garage door with no changes. It still required me to pay $100+ to the city to get approval to replace something that was already in place. And I just could not understand why I needed a code enforcement person to come out and approve a garage door that was approved at the point when it was built, the house was built. So the company that came in and put the garage door on was responsible for putting it on right. And that if I had any problems with it, they should have been the only ones involved. It was me purchasing the garage door from them. Further, I decided to put deadbolt locks on the bedroom doors throughout the house. They came in and told me I couldn't put deadbolt doors on the interior bedrooms, that I had to put knob locks on them. And I just could not understand where the door could be closed from someone from the inside, locked and secured. Why would you force me to put slip locks on the doors that could be easily opened? And it just amazed me that they would get involved in those kind of details related to my home and have the ability to not approve things that I wanted in my house. If you replace your air conditioner, you have to pay them to replace your air conditioner. You know, and I just found it invasive that they would could literally walk around your home and decide what it was that you needed or didn't need to do in order to keep your home up. Now, mind you, I understand when people allow their home to get to the point where it's dangerous. But these people would tell me about things like cobwebs or it's time to pressure wash your house. I mean, can you imagine that someone who doesn't pay your mortgage is able to tell you when it's time to paint your house? It just seems a little invasive to me. And when I look at this airline situation, this man paid for a ticket for a seat, and you denied him that seat because you overbooked the plane and you wanted to put in his seat your employees. And you literally dragged him off that plane. Each and every passenger on that plane selected a time to leave wherever they were leaving, and a scheduled time to get where they were going, and they put good American dollars to have the right to do that. But somewhere in your policies give you the right to take that seat from them and tell them they can fly the next day. And I just want to talk to everybody about how it seems that corporate America and businesses are inappropriately treating customers, and then how government or agencies like police and zoning and all these other agencies are running shotgun over taxpayers. How are you doing this evening, Kathy?
Good afternoon, Mr. Deshay.
Kathy, did you hear the story of the man being drugged off the plane because he didn't want to give up his seat?
Not drugged off.
Yes, he literally grabbed him by the arm and drug him off the plane. I've watched the video. They didn't walk him off the plane. They drug him off the plane.
Wow. No, I didn't watch it.
This was
it.
United Airlines.
Wow.
And the situation was they asked people to, they needed four people to voluntarily get off the plane because they had four employees that needed to fly to the next designation, I guess, because they had a plane that they needed to control. They offered them $600 plus a ticket anywhere in the world they wanted to go.
Mm-hmm.
And of course they'd get there the same ticket they paid for. But
nobody right.
wanted to leave.
Mm.
So what they did was they went into the computer and they had a program to select four people.
Oh, wow.
A couple decided to leave. But this man did not want to go. He said he had somewhere he had to be, and he needed to be there tomorrow, and he could not wait till tomorrow to go.
Mm. Wow.
And because he refused to leave, they literally grabbed him by the arms and pulled him off of the plane.
I know he filed a lawsuit.
Now, the CEO has come on and apologized. But there seems to be rules that it's okay for airlines to overbook and that this has become a common practice that people are asked to leave the plane because they've overbooked and they make these accommodations for them, but it's not something you can volunteer or not volunteer for because it has to happen one way or the other. And we're just posing the question, you know, have you noticed or seen there seems to be a greater disrespect for customers or people who have to interact with government in terms of the way we're treated as though taxpayers are not supposed to be respected or customers are not respected and appreciated? What are your experiences?
That's not only the government. That's all over the world. People are just disrespectful in general. It's not just them. I mean, I've been on planes, and I know my cousin flies all the time. And every flight he's on, he says that they ask if there's anyone that would like to delay their flight to get that extra, and he always does it. I mean, you know, those are their policies. That's how they do it. They overbook. Sometimes they have more room than enough, and sometimes they don't. But I do think that was very disrespectful of them to do that, a young man like that. They could have went to someone else and asked. Even when he began to tell them where he had to go was very important as well, and they should have took that into consideration. So I'm assuming that they're going to do something really, really, really nice for him to satisfy him because of what they did. But, again, you know, it's not only the airlines, it's the taxis, it's when you go in some of these stores. I mean, the disrespect is just there. You know, people do not know these days how to be courteous. I mean, it's just where we are. It's a time where we are in the world today. So that's why we, the ones who do have, still have that courtesy, the one that do still have that kindness and that affection and that compassion and that empathy, we have to still stand and be who we are so that we will not allow it to fade away slowly, because it seems as though it is just the disrespect is overtaking everything else.
And maybe that's a part of it. I mean, I remember when the airlines were some of the kindest, sweetest people in the world. I remember distinctly when my parents would allow me to fly on my own to Detroit when I was under the age of 10, and that I would have a specific stewardess who would be responsible for me once I got on the plane, and once when she put me in the hands of the people who were picking me up. And you never heard of people being thrown off the plane for the way they dress. Now you got people thrown off the plane for any number of reasons. But they seem to be, as Dee spoke about, even in the restaurants, there seem to be a lot of disrespect for the customers, no appreciation for the fact that our money is what is keeping them employed, and that they just seem to have lost the what we call true customer service. We're going to take a short break, and we'll come back and continue our conversation.
I'm so in love with you, but all right with me, 'cause you make me feel so brand new. And I want to spend my life with you. Let me say, baby,
some thoughts, love, and reflection brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. I want to encourage you all to call in. We're here 7 days a week, Monday through Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, Saturday and Sunday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Call in at 657-383-0309. Allow your thoughts to be heard loud and clear and unfiltered. Regina, we're talking today about, you know, the lack of customer service, both by governmental agencies like police, code enforcement, and other agencies that were put in place to assist citizens, and all these large corporations that are now just disrespecting their citizens or their customers. I shared the story about how the man was drug off the plane where he had paid for his seat on the airline, and yet because there was overbooking, people were asked to leave, but no one would have wanted to leave, so they just used a computer to select the customers that would have to leave. And because he refused to leave, he was literally drug off the plane. So today we're talking about customer rights, customer service, and does it look like in America people are forgetting to respect customers and taxpayers? What are your thoughts, Regina? Are you with us, Regina?
Yes, I am. I'm sorry. I saw that, and he identified himself as a doctor and said that he had to get back to his patient, and I can understand that. And he also, according to what they said, got loud. It still does not make it right what they did. And I understand now that the United Airlines, I believe it is, they're trying to get in touch with him, and he is not answering. That lets me know that he knows his rights, and he is lawyered up, and he, along with the rest of his family members, may be able to fly for the rest of their lives free, because he's going to get paid for what happened.
But it seems to Regina that this is a common practice, and I don't know when the practice started, but it seems that it's a common practice to overbook the airlines. The four seats that they needed were not for other customers, but were for their own employees. So they knew that these employees needed those seats, and so they could have very easily not counted those seats and only sold what seats they had. But the four people that needed to get on that plane were employees that were going to the next destination. They were pilots and stewardess. And to drag that man by his arms all the way out of the plane, back up through the, I'm not sure what they call that thing that connects to the door, and back up to the ticket area was just disrespectful. And certainly they
horrible.
Need to do that.
It was horrible.
Yes. And they should have spent a little more time maybe finding some people by upping the ante a little bit. See, they were going to stay with the $600. Maybe they should have went to $1,000or $1,200. But it just seems like, you know, what Dee has already stated before you came on, that customer service has just gone out the door. And both governmental agencies, profit organizations, care less about us as customers and are totally with the thought that, hey, you need us more than we need you.
I think what people are looking at now is what they stand to lose as opposed to what they stand to gain. And to have four customers upset but still getting the service as opposed to not having those pilots and stewardesses at the next destination and possibly having a whole airline of people upset, they took a risk. And unfortunately, the people who exercised the mandate to get those four folk off, they did not do it properly. So the risk they thought they were taking is much more than what they believed it to be.
And I'm not sure I understand why they think, you know, and Kathy has already shared with us that she has a family member who flies all the time. And certainly when you have gaps or you have space in your arrangement, it sounds like a good deal. I mean, if someone would give me $600 and a free ticket anywhere in lieu of me flying that day and I had extra time, surely I would take it too. I mean, I may lose a day, but I gain a free trip and an extra $600. But clearly, everybody on that particular flight did not care about that amount and looked like they should have then decided to increase the amount until they found four people that was willing to accept it. What are your thoughts about that, Dee? I know you say you don't fly very much, but wouldn't it seem better to increase the amount you're willing to pay for those seats if nobody is willing to give the seats up?
Yeah, I think that would be a good alternative. But, you know, to listen to everyone expound on the subject, and hello, ladies, how are y'all doing? we have to understand where we are in this day and time. Now, it is imperative that we, going forward, as all persons, learn to read between the lines. In doing so, this is where we are at this day and time. Corporations as a whole depend on ratings, all right? And when the airline, in this particular matter, when they sell these tickets and they're trying to get as many people as they can on the flight, and if in doing so in the same breath can get people to their destination safely, then they have good ratings, all right? Now, for this incident to happen the way it did, their ratings is going to go down pretty bad, all right? And I got to tell you, like Fox News and everybody else, Bill O'Reilly and everybody else, they'll sell their mama for good ratings. And so for this one incident to happen, their ratings going to plummet for about a week. But they'll do what they can to get it back up. The ratings and the stockholders are most important. If we as consumers can have a good experience when we fly down to Orlando and go to Universal Studios, if we can have a good experience in doing so without a ride breaking down or somebody riding a roller coaster at one of the other theme parks and being decapitated, if that doesn't happen, then the ratings on said theme park will be good. But if something unfortunate happens like that, then the stockholders are going to suffer and the ratings are going to suffer. So it's all about the rating. If we as consumers could be fortunate enough to have a good experience, then that's a double whammy. But first of all, the stockholders and the ratings are most important to most companies and industries.
Well, you know, you're so right, and I remembered another experience that I had. I have to tell you that when I do decide to go on a trip, I really want to have an experience where I feel like I was really, really treated well. So I try to go to very nice hotels, ones that are going to cater to my need to feel good about who I am and the experience that I'm going to have. And it's amazing to me, one of the last trips that I took, I went to this hotel and they did not have the normal key for the hotel rooms. They had this new thing where you know, you slide this little card in. And I was going to be there for a week. And somehow or another, the lock on the door wasn't working. And I was actually locked out of my room for well over an hour and a half, almost 2 hours, after a long day of touring around. I wanted to get in and take my shower and get some rest. But I was actually locked out of my room until they brought down someone to dismantle the door and do whatever they needed to do. And it took quite a while for them to do that. And so when I shared with the management that I thought after that experience, that I should be given a day for free, they balked at it. And it was amazing to me. I can't remember what they offered, but I'm saying you inconvenienced me. I paid this high price to be at your establishment, well over the norm, for comfort and to be treated with respect and dignity and all of that. And I made sure that I had a room that had an ocean view. And so my room was, again, not one of the normal rooms. They balked at the fact that I was inconvenienced for an hour and a half, 2 hours, and requested a free night stay. And so, again, you know, you inconvenience your customers. You don't give them some accommodation for that inconvenience, that does not encourage them to return or say very nice things about your hotel or organization. Kathy, have you ever had any of those experiences where you didn't appreciate the money that you were spending and what it was costing you and thought you should have been treated better?
James, I've had multiple issues like that. But you know what? I talk it up. I got what I wanted, and they got what they wanted. So I can't hold on to it because I know it's not them, but it's the people that's representing them. See, we are representative of who we work for. So as everyone was talking, I was thinking about the people who are in charge on the airline at that time. I'm sure some people are getting chewed out right about now because of this incident. But then again, I had to think about it. That's why they have insurance, because they have money set aside so that they can pay for incidents like this. And as Dee said, it's going to be 1, 2, maybe 3 weeks, maybe even a month, but then they're going to figure out how to get those customers back. I remember a while back when there was supposed to be a protest against Target concerning those bathrooms being changed over to transgender, I think that's what it was, or, you know, anybody can go inside of the restroom. So there was a protest that was supposed to happen and start to see how many people would stop shopping there so that they could show Target, hey, we are not going to stand for what you are allowing to happen in your store. So it was 1 month, 2 months, 3 months went by. You know, I stopped shopping there. I cut my card up. I paid it off. And I said that was it, because I was going to stand with the people. But see, everybody doesn't stand together. That's why we cannot complete these things that we are trying to show these people, that, hey, we're not going to stand for you treating us like this. We're not going to allow you to continue to do us this way. So if everybody doesn't stand together, then it's not going to happen. But anyway, going back to the Target incident, they did a stat like 4 or 5 months later, and they said that Target had got hit really bad around that time for that incident. And but they what they tried to say is that it was not just the it was because of Black Lives Matters, but that was not why the protest had originally began. It began because people wanted to let them know that they were not happy about them putting those restrooms in there. But I'm just saying that to say that wherever you work at, there's going to be disrespectful people, and then there are going to be people that treat you really well, you know. So what they need to do is start pulling those people out that are not doing their job.
And you're right, it needs to be a lot more accountability for those people who are on the front line. I see that we have Joyce here. How are you doing, Joyce?
Hello. How's everybody? Doing great, thank you.
Fine. Joyce, early in the show, I was hoping that you would be here because I wanted, you know, you actually worked for the airlines for a while, right?
Right. I used to be what they call a stewardess during my day. They call it a cabin attendant, correct?
Well, we're talking about how they overbooked this flight, and, of course, they offered people $600 cash, and they offered a free flight anywhere, but nobody wanted to get that compensation in order to leave, and it is what I'm hearing now, that it's commonplace to overbook flights. And because nobody wanted to leave the flight, they then used a computer to arbitrarily select four people to leave. One gentleman refused, and he was literally drug off the plane. And so we're just talking about how it seems that a lot of corporate companies and a lot of governmental agencies are truly disrespecting taxpayers and and customers in a fashion right now that is unbelievable. When, you know, it used to be said the customer's always right, now we have a situation where customers are truly being disrespected when they're the ones that are paying people salaries and keeping companies profitable. What are your thoughts, being that you have spent some time in the industry?
Unacceptable. That's how I feel about it. This guy was a doctor. They could have dealt with that several different ways. First of all, they could have upped the ante on the price. If you're paying $600, you want to fly that bad and you need your cabin attendants to go from point A to point B in order to make sure that they meet that flight on time, then you up it to $1,000. Or they could have said they had a random drawing. They could have said that, okay, therefore, we're unable to allow this doctor to be one of the ones to take the next flight out to the next availability. So, therefore, we have to draw another name and get a teenager. Believe it or not, a young person willing to take a grand, $800, because that's what they was offering, or anything. It should have been dealt with so totally different. The guy or whoever the person is should be reprimanded. The law enforcement, unacceptable. I mean, it's crazy. Believe it or not, when I came down last year with my sister, they told us that they had overbooked. First flight going out of Phoenix coming into Florida, that they had overbooked. And they told me that they wanted me to pay for a seat. I told them an additional outside because they're selling outside seats. Now they sell in window seats, so then you'll be stuck in the middle. So that the seats that they had, what they call free seats, they had all been taken. So therefore, either I need to pay a seat. And I told them, no way. I pay for a seat when I pay for my ticket. My ticket is my seat, you know. So then they knew that I wasn't no ding-a-ling and no ding and a dong and wasn't going to give any additional money. Guess what? I had a seat on that flight because that's what my ticket was. I paid way ahead in advance. So my thing is, what do you mean a free seat? There's no more free seat available. They change the rules all the time just to get money. Back when I was flying, it just had more integrity about how they dealt with people, how they view passengers. But now it's no respect. And for law enforcement to drag a customer off the plane, it's just totally, totally unacceptable. They will be paying for that because that is a lawsuit.
And, Joyce, you won't believe it. I said the same thing, that if $600 was not enough, then they needed to have raised it. And here was a situation where you didn't have somebody was disrupting anything. This man was not causing any problems. You were asking this man to give up a seat that he paid for, that he thought he had a right to have. And so
right.
You need to do whatever it is you need to do to encourage other people to leave. Even if you had to go up to $2,000, those people had already paid for their seats, and they had every right to stay there, especially when you were replacing them with employees. You weren't replacing them with other customers. You were replacing them with employees that you knew needed to get to wherever they were going. So that's something you knew ahead of time. And so, yeah, you're right. I just find it ridiculous that man was treated in that fashion. And it's just crazy.
United had the advantage, too, where they could have had their employees go to another airline to be a passenger. They could have paid their way as a passenger if they needed them to point B that bad to get to where they needed to go for their destination. Why inconvenience me when I'm paid for my ticket way probably in advance to make sure that I get from point A to point B? Now you're going to disrupt me and going to tell me that you drew my name at randomly? You better come up off of more than $600-$800 if you want me to leave. Now I'm at the advantage, and they didn't want to do that. So to drag him off the plane in front of all those passengers, and they was taking pictures, you know, this is a big, huge lawsuit. Unacceptable.
Dee, let me ask you. Normally, you say you don't fly very much, but when you make arrangements to go somewhere, most of those times, those arrangements are made so that you have the time to get where you're going at the time you need to be there. So in a lot of cases, people's travel arrangements aren't flexible. Is that not right?
Yeah, I would think so. Unless it, their travel is a professional venture, if he's got a meeting that he needs to be at, something like that. But otherwise, you would think it's flexible. But I want to comment on something that you said about how at times in times past, these hotels and restaurants and anybody else that craved your business, when they knew that there was nobody unless they had you as a customer, they would, in time past, they would freely be willing to accommodate you for any inconvenience. And but to hear your experience as dreadful as it was, and then they mobbed and laughed at your suggestion because all you was doing was just reminiscing how things used to be, where if you was inconvenient, had to go sit in the lobby because you locked out of your room, management will automatically say, look, we're gonna comp your stay here today. And if he want to be extra generous, and if he was extra smart, he would tell you that, and your next bill would be discounted. Because to do that, that's not going to hurt them unless there's a greed factor involved. A lot of times, these management, they be in competition with other branches of the same company. They be having contests to say whoever can bring in such revenue at said given time, you get a free trip to the Caribbean and stuff like that. So all those things come into play. And that's why we as the consumer sometimes feel like the second class citizen, or that you really just want my money and don't care about my experience that I'm having with your establishment.
And Dee, I have to tell you that during that time when I was locked out of my room, you know, I felt really homeless. you know, I had spent the day. I had left the hotel early that morning, did not get back till late that evening, and, you know, was just tuckered out and really wanted to get back in my room and take a shower and get in bed or sit on the balcony and listen to the ocean. But I didn't want to be locked out for a long period of time until they gathered their faculties and tried to determine what was wrong with the key and the lock and why it wasn't working properly. And certainly, like you said, that all I asked for was for that day to be removed. Now, that day was probably a $250, $300 day. I don't remember exactly how much, but the trip overall cost me somewhere in the neighborhood of $3,000 to $4,000. But giving me a couple of $100 off of my trip shouldn't have been that great a burden. But it seems like corporate America, or as Kathy has put it, the people who are down on the front line don't see the importance of being customer service oriented. Regina, you know, I know you just recently took a real nice trip to Hilton Head. Don't you expect people to treat you extremely nice when you go to nice places?
Yes, especially when you're traveling, and it's a big expense. And for you to choose that organization or that company to make this big expense toward, then they should really, really appreciate you. And it happens all the time. You know, I can understand how some people really, really, you know, look to get over on companies or other places, like going into a restaurant with a bug in a jar and putting it in the food so that you can get your food free. You know, people start looking at folk differently when things like this happen, but when things like that happen with the bug. But with that situation with that man, or you going to a hotel, which happened when we were in Hilton Head, and the water was not hot. So we got something off of our bill because of that. And, you know, it's just a way to handle things like that. You have to show the customer you appreciate them.
And people have to understand that people have different levels that they have to be reimbursed for their inconvenience. You know, when I went to that trip, I really, you know, I just felt that the first time I had really paid to go away for a whole week and really had an opportunity to relax and enjoy my environment for an extended period of time. And I think what he offered was $100 off. And I just felt like you $100 does not compensate me for the experience that I wanted to have here at your hotel. And that's why I felt like he needed to pay for a whole day. And, you know, in order to get me to really feel like, you know, because that was a black mark on that whole week, to feel like for those hours I felt like a homeless person, that I didn't have a place to stay or have accommodations. They didn't ask me to come to dinner and or have some drinks while I waited. I just had to wait in an obscure place until they said they had my door open. And so just like this man, he had a specific place he wanted to be at a specific time. He paid a specific amount of money to do that, and yet he was drug off this plane and disrespected now in front of millions of people because the video has gone viral. Now, he is going to have to live with being literally drug off that plane for the rest of his life. Joyce?
Well, it was humiliating. This man was a physician. He's a doctor. And his and he had let them know that he needed to see patients, you know. I mean, when you're a physician, you know, you got patient. Patient is money, big money at that. So, therefore, it shouldn't have been even, a second thought on what you do, your next course. Now, when I was flying as a stewardess, I mean, you couldn't even tell who was in first class and who was in coach because they had those two type of sections. But the back cabin got the same type of elite service as first class. Only difference of the drinks and the choice of entrees. The back section had choice of entrees, but, you know, you had to pay for your drinks. But as far as first class service, that's what our airlines was all about. That's what they taught. But now with the type of business, it's productivity. It's not customer service orientated, the workforce. That's all these companies are doing. Like Dee said, they're competing against each other, and the only thing is they want you to produce. So they're not teaching young people, most of the young people, good customer service. That's how come a lot of companies like old civilian people who are retirees to come back in the workforce because that they know how to make money. They know how to have good customer service. Customers is always right. Every company knows that. That's the name of the game, good customer service. If you want to maintain your status to keep a good relationship with the public and draw people in, and customers always right, good customer service up front. That's why a lot of companies have taken the style that everybody talk about Walmart, but that's why they had those greeters up front to let you know we want your business. Hello, welcome to Walmart. And a lot of other companies have taken that approach too. So in this situation, I think the front line of communication as far as companies, the front line can make or break a company because you represent that company. This is all they see,
yes.
Not over the phone, but when you're dealing face-to-face, you better be
yes.
on point because you represent that company and you can make or break that company.
Well, and the other thing is that they already taken a lot from us as customers. These planes are getting more and more uncomfortable because they're trying to put in as many seats as they can. They're taking away the amenities. Used to be that you could be on a hour flight and they'll be trying to figure out a way to give you a meal. Now you can take a 5-hour flight and they don't give you anything but peanuts and a drink. And so it really seems that the customer service has really left the airline industry a lot. Andre, how are you doing this evening?
Just marvelous.
Andre, you are an individual who flies a lot. Did you hear about this gentleman literally being drug off the plane? Have you ever been asked to leave the plane or given an option of taking a later flight because they've overbooked?
I have not been taken off the plane, but I have been offered, voluntarily, not me personally, but they make the announcement if anyone wants to have a delayed flight, and they'll compensate you in some means. And that's it's a common practice now as far as their overbooking. They depend on people to make arrangements and not come. That's part of their strategy. And Joyce is absolutely right. The frontline person is the company. It's not the CEO. It is that representative that's setting the branding for that company.
And what are your thoughts in regards to the way this man was literally drug off the plane and who, when he said that, like Joyce has said, he was a doctor and he needed to see a patient the next day, and they just refused to understand his situation and literally drug him off the plane. I mean, there could have been a lot of dominoes to fall as a result, depending on what kind of doctor he was and what kind of surgery may have been waiting for this individual. And seemingly, these companies just don't seem to understand to what degree they need to go to service their customers. Joyce talked about that if 600 was not enough, maybe they should have went to 1,000 to get somebody to get off the plane.
Well, a lot of times that's what they do. They keep going up until they find someone at meeting. And I'm not really aware of the story. So I'm thinking that he had already boarded, and for whatever reason he had to deplane.
Right. He already boarded, and they asked 4 people to leave. Nobody wanted to leave. Then they just selectively used a computer to select people to get off. One company got off without incident, but this man said he could not leave because he had a schedule that he needed to adhere to.
Yeah, that's unique, and I'm glad that it came to the forefront. I'm disappointed that it had to happen to that that passenger. But, you know, that needs to be brought to the forefront because, like I say, it is part of the airline industry to overbook. That's a common practice. And I didn't notice it until, like you said, I started flying a little more. And while you pay your money right up front with no, you know, hesitation, but it'll say seat not assigned. Kind of, you know, it used to be back in the day, time you pay your money, your seat is assigned. And this is for a major airline. So that's when I start learning that, you know, well, wait a minute, I don't even have a seat yet. And that prompts you to go earlier and try to check in and whatever. But it still doesn't guarantee you a seat because, like I said, if everybody show up, which it did in this particular case, you know, then they have to take another step to make sure that they have just adequate enough of seats. But that's interesting that they used a random selection. And the company, from the business perspective, they are willing to risk that this particular issue happens on such a few occasions that they'll continue to overbook.
Well, it's amazing to me that you say, because everything that they do is in their best interest. Because if you're late, they're going to charge you extra to get on the next plane. And if you're early and everybody's there, they get to kick you off and put who they want to be on the plane. So it seems like all the cards are in their favor related to this overbooking process. And that just seems not to be fair. Joyce, what are your thoughts about the things you heard Andre say?
I heard what Andre said, and it's true. That's what airlines are doing. But I'm glad it's a wake-up call and it's brought to the forefront. So now I think that they need to reassess the way that they do business because passengers, we have rights. And just like Andre say, is that now, like, how can you have one leg of the flight, which is you going out, you leaving the airport, your main base, but on your second leg of the second leg, they did not sign your seat because they have overbooked the second leg. So therefore, when you get to maybe Dallas, what are you to do? That portion of your flight. So then you got to hassle and dazzle with an agent where you are paid up front for to get you from point A to point B all at the same day at the same time. It's not fair. It's not fair to the passenger. So in this situation, it's going to cost you, namely, dearly. And hopefully it sent a message to not only United, every airlines out there who overbooks and they do it deliberately. Now, in my situation, I welcome that, particularly going back home. I'm not in a hurry or whatever. So, yeah, I take $800, but if the situation is like nobody want to move, then I can up my ante and say, well, I want $1,000, and I'm willing to stay back on the next flight. You're going to fly me first class. You're going to put me in a hotel. I have arrangements, but when you are professional, you out on your trip, you may have a meeting that you have to go to, do some other situation. In this course, he was a physician and he had patients that he needed to see. Don't do that. You really try to play that game that they're doing with someone who has leisure time like myself.
Yeah, you need to really get to know who these your customers are. Maybe they needed to go down and spend some time. They were three, as it was, they were 3 hours late. So in 3 hours, you could have made some contact with the individual customers and see who may have had some time in their schedule that would have allowed them to do what you were asking them to do. And if you had to raise your amount, then that's just business. That's how you do business. You overbook, so it's costing you a little bit more. But I think they'll lose a lot more in terms of their customers when this comes out and it hits the fan the way it's going to do. We're going to take another break, and we're going to come back and have our final word for the day. The host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. Dee, I just want to tell you, you missed out yesterday. The Fantastic Four was in rare form. They all came together, and they literally almost turned it into a church service. So you missed out yesterday. I just want to know, you have to be careful about when you leave because these ladies will take over.
Well, I was unable to find your time of scheduling yesterday. What time was your show yesterday?
8 o'clock.
Okay, I called in.
On Sundays it fluctuates from 8 to 8:30, but Saturday is always at 8. But on Sunday is the only time that sometimes the network will get a little few people and push me back a little ways. But it was 8 p.m. yesterday.
Okay. All right. I missed out. I was trying to find you all. James, if you allow me, I want to take something real quick. Can I use this as my closing statement?
Yes, you can.
Okay. Hey, I want to expound on something that that Regina said. She touched on the fact about the correlation between the customer and the person that's offering the service. And doing so, we have to be mindful of the person that's offering the services, their experiences also, and past experiences. My point is that we as adults, we have to be mindful on teaching our children, when you go out on the town and you go to restaurants and things of that sort, you have to know how to conduct yourself. For instance, my mother used to have this saying, if you can't afford to go out, don't go out. So sometimes these restaurants, they have past experiences where the people will come in and sit and come to your restaurant and be obnoxious. They'd be overly demanding. And when they leave, they don't tip. So we have to expect a great experience, even as a customer. But in doing so, we also have to render a good behavior, if you will, to the person that's rendering the service. You know, it's almost like you get what you get. You get what you offer. Are you the mindset that you go in with? That's the experience that you're going to come out with. So I think it's important that if we want a good experience when we go out, we have to conduct ourselves to where we know how to have a great time. And we have to understand the tip-ticket ratio. So we don't have these experiences of where, you know, we were stereotyped. When we walked in the door, they were looking at us funny because they expect us not to be able to show that we know how to go out, and they looking at us like we don't know how to tip and things of that sort. So I think it goes both ways when you're expecting a good experience when you go out on the time or if you're traveling.
All right, Regina, what's your final word for tonight?
I just, as usual, I'm going to say, always treat people the way you want to be treated. Be fair and expect fairness in return. That's not to say that you're going to get it, but in the event that you don't get it, be a learned person. Know your rights and know how to ask for your rights or demand your rights in a non-demanding way, but in a way that is calm and will show that the other person is the one who really has to come up to par with what you're demanding in an undemanding way. And I think this doctor is going to really be on the winning end. In fact, I know he's going to be on the winning end because he has several people that he can that he is going to be able to demand compensation from.
All right, Cassie, what are your final words for today?
Okay, hi Dee. I just wanted to say that yesterday was a day of healing. It not only healed those that were on the line, but I'm sure it healed the people that were listening as well. So, Dee, you always say that you go back and listen, so this would be a good time to go back and listen to yesterday's show. Yeah.
I guarantee you.
Okay, so thanks. I wanted to say that I'm sitting here reading and looking at the incident that happened, and all I could say is, oh, my God. I see that two of the officers were African-American, and I could just only imagine they're going to lose their jobs because of how they reacted in this incident. And no one should be treated the way that they treated this man. This is he needs to own half of the United Airlines. This is ridiculous. This is not how you do business. This, we need to talk about this again. I'm upset. I think I'm going to sue him myself.
Yeah, I kind of knew you didn't see the video when you made that initial statement that you know, why did I use the right word drag? Because he was literally dragged off of that plane.
Wow.
Joyce, what is your final comment?
My final comment is that business, they need to take notice. They need to be on notice. You do not treat a professional person like that. You don't treat no one like that, particularly since they're catering to your business. That guy, that person, all those passengers, they did what they were instructed to. They purchased a qualified ticket. So to me, what should have happened is, like I say, that crew that needed to desperately be at point B should have taken another airline and should have ridden as a passenger. That has happened. When I was a stewardess, we took other airlines. When we had to go, we deadheaded on another air flight where our company had to pick up the bill and pay us as a passenger to ride to point B in order for us to meet that destination to take that plane out. You name it. Unacceptable. That's the oldest airline that flies for the United States of America. They got to do better than that. It's unacceptable. That's all I have to say. Thank you.
All right. I want to continue to thank all of you guys for your support and calling in and so that we can have these types of discussions. I want to encourage those of you who are listening to write the number down, 657-383-0309. We're here 7 days a week, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 o'clock West Coast Time, Saturday and Sunday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 5 o'clock West Coast Time. We want you to call in at 657-383-0309 to make sure that your voices are heard loud and clear.